attention.
Good evening, everybody. We're here again at Paradigm Shifters. Who are Paradigm Shifters? People making a difference in the collective of our species so humanity can rise above, we can radiate, we can fly, and we're all in oneness. I have some wonderful guests today. I have some comedian guests, some comic, spiritually incorrect comedy for you. My guests are, there's four of them, so you have to be kind of listening carefully so you can see it all and hear it all. Is Vanda Michalowski. Hello, Vanda.
Hello.
And Jerry Katzman.
Namaste, party people in the house.
And Eric Pasoja, is that right?
Yes. Rama Lama Ding Dong, everybody.
And Leah Krinsky, are you there?
Leah Krinsky's here, and we're sort of sharing a phone right now. So say hi, Leah.
Howdy.
She's howdy.
And I don't know quite what we're going to do, because this is going to be a lot of fun. These people have been very busily, well, why don't I let you tell it? Why don't you tell what you've been doing with comedy? Because these have a long history in the comedy world and in the metaphysical world.
I'll jump in and start out. Four of us have had a spirituality of some order or other. They all kind of differ from each other a little bit. And we've all been professional stand-up comedians for years. Leah's been a writer from the Dennis Miller Live Show, won a couple of Emmy Awards doing that. And we got together, just an informal salon, to see about writing some good new novel stuff of a spiritual, metaphysical, transformational nature. And the four of us just hit it off at the time. And we just have a ball writing every Sunday. And we've started doing a bunch of gigs and life experiences. We're doing the New York, Los Angeles Comedy Festival coming up. We have a monthly gig in Venice, California. And we're looking at a tour in Phoenix coming up, too. Lots of stuff going on, and we just love it. And it's so challenging and so rewarding, much more so than our days in, well, for me, much more so than my days in mainstream comedy.
Well, how long ago was that, Vanda? Didn't you take time out to go live in the Rampa world?
I did. I was a comic. I started out in 1982 in New York City, and then I thought that
she was six at the time, by the way.
I was seven.
And I thought you had to choose between your spiritual path and your worldly path. Like, I thought that was a choice you had to make between your God and your guru, or your ambitions and dreams, you know.
Uh-huh.
And not so, I come to find out. Who knew? But so I'm doing both now.
How long did you spend studying Rampa, Matt? Were you at the School for Enlightenment?
I was there for like 25 years doing metaphysical disciplines and enfolded archery and, focusing for a week at a time in meditation and crazy stuff like that.
Did you love it?
Oh, I loved it, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was great. And yet there was always something in the background, like I miss my dream of being a great comic. I love comedy. And all of us are like great technicians. We love comedy itself.
And all the other people, what have you all been studying? Have you done similar? Were you all at Rampa?
We were not all at Rampa. I guess I'll speak next. Eric Pasoja here. I've been on a long-time spiritual journey. It started out when I was a little kid dealing with religion, I grew up Jewish, even though I look like the Nazi poster boy. I was always searching, and I've also been a martial artist since I was 4 years old, and lived in Japan, and there's a very moving, meditative nature about karate. And then I discovered Kundalini yoga, and things really, really opened up for me. Kundalini is a very, very special, kind of yoga that really deals with living with myself. And about 3 years ago, I did a yoga cleanse and became a vegan. Can you believe that?
That's
a big
job. I'm sorry? That's a lot of work.
You know what? It's a lot less work than I thought it was going to be. Having been Jewish and avoiding pork and shellfish and everything else for years, and then red meat, and then it just became part of a natural, fluid motion toward who I am today. And the whole thing has been a spiritual quest, and it's been interesting because I've been doing comedy for 15 years, and I noticed even from the beginning, I started to kind of drift away from the topics that were being discussed by my contemporaries on stage and looking for something deeper. And I began writing to it, and then I realized that at the time I had no forum to do this material. I mean, what comedian can write about creation of the universe, the Bible in ancient and modern context, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, at a comedy club where people are talking about dating, relationships, their nether regions, drugs and alcohol and everything else. Not that that stuff is good or bad, but it just ain't my trip. And after writing and, you know, discovering or being discovered, however you want to call it, with Vanda and Leah and Jerry, all of a sudden, all this material that had been boiling up and boiling up over the years finally found a place.
Excellent.
And I'm at home. I'm at home at this, in this milieu, this métier, this medium, this je ne sais quoi mixed with a déjà vu and a savoir faire that gives us all a joie de vivre. You know? This is it.
Well, you better give Jerry a little shot now, telling about his history.
Well, you know, I can only tail in off of the excitement that Eric has for what we're doing. You know, Veronica, it's like you take really great comedians who have been on every possible television show. I myself have been a TV actor for a while and also feature films just like Eric, and Vanda's made a ton of TV appearances as well as a comedian. So we've got these actors, comedians, writers in this collective. But more importantly, there's a sort of common thread of a spirit beyond just spirituality. We're just nice, funny, caring people. I know that sounds a little hokey, but, you know, when you talk about a commune forming, we've got this communal work ethic, and we just show up, and there's very little drama, and we work with actually... Well, I'm sorry. I know there was some laughter there from my colleagues. We work with a coach, and we all are constantly doing transformational work ourselves. In fact, some of it together. We did a breath workshop a few weeks ago. All of us have done a weekend seminar called the Landmark Forum, and that's actually like one of the things that we use as one of the foundations of the work that we do with one of our coaches. We're approaching this thing in a way that's really uncommon for comedians. First of all, it's uncommon for comedians to write together. They're very lone wolf most of the time. Hmm. So we've created this thing where we are just synergizing. Aaliyah is this amazing writer for was on Dennis Miller Live, and she just is. We just have this little creative little fertilization greenhouse that we get to come to once a week, where we write together, then we perform together, we eat together, we laugh together, we cry together, and love together. It's one of the most uncommon things you'll ever experience. And when you get to come to one of our shows, you can check it out at spirituallyincorrectcomedy.com. I'm sure someone will mention that website again later. But you'll begin to see the genesis of not only a new movement in comedy, I believe, but just a loving vibe that is getting us a lot of attention.
Well, good, because I think transformation can be actually very hilarious, and it's good to laugh at ourselves. How about Leah? Can you talk to us?
I just have sex with shamans. They're very funny shamans.
Yeah, so she's had transformation inside her for a long time.
Is that what you're going to talk about, Leah?
Talk about Leah a little bit. I actually had walked away from show business in 2003 to go to graduate school to become a psychotherapist.
Oh, good.
My study of psychology kind of informs my work. And then Vanda, who I was friends with about 25 years ago, all of a sudden popped back into my life after, you know, being up in the Pacific Northwest, you know, sleeping on beds of nails for 25. And she says to me, "Hey, I want to have a salon of comedy writers at your house." And I was like, "Okay, I guess I'll cook."
Very shy, by the way.
I kind of thought that I would just sort of be on the sidelines, but I jumped back in with both feet, and everybody's been so delightful and encouraging and so easy. It's just such a great mind meld. It's really fabulous, and Sundays are the high point of my week.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. Well, we'd love to have some samplers, but in the meantime, Vanda was telling me how you, what is it, you write jokes inside of intentions, inside of intentionality?
Oh, yeah. Our coach that we work with is a guy from Vancouver named Anurag Gupta, and we work with him once a week, and he's done years and years and years of transformational seminars. He led transformational seminars around the world, and he's really adept at giving people access to transformation. Like whatever's not working in their lives, mm-hmm. he has the way to give them power, freedom, and full self-expression where they didn't have it. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, what would that be like to do comedy that's transformational, where people leave our show actually having value for themselves? Like, for example, one of our things is that we're writing toward right now is leaving the people free to tell the truth where they used to lie. You know, in that, we start looking at where do we lie, how do we structure that into good, solid stand-up, which, you know, stand-up's a pretty cruel mistress. It's set up punchline and tag, some act-outs, but it's a pretty, you know, rigorous discipline, and either it gets a laugh or it doesn't, so there's natural integrity to stand-up, right? And so we want to take those ideas and train ourselves to write toward an intention. Like our coach will oftentimes stop us and go, yeah, 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 it's funny, but what are you intending here? How do you want to leave the audience? So ultimately we're going to have show where every bit is intentional.
Wow.
Every actually is to access something for somebody in the audience. You know, we do a holographic approach, like everybody has their own cut at it. Leah might have a yoga cut, you know, Jerry might have a Kabbalah cut, Eric might have a martial arts cut, I might have a meditation or something cut, you know, so that people can see it from many viewpoints.
You just cracked me up when I watched a cut the other day or listened to one of the pieces that you sent, and you were talking about how you love your base chakra.
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing. We didn't really want to say this on the radio, but we're all very sexy.
Oh.
Very sexy.
Well, can you give us some samples right now, or is that too hard for all of you?
Oh, of sexiness?
Well, you know, it's pretty hard when we're not visual, but...
Vanda, I'm just curious if Veronica might have... Vanda, don't you think that, you know, one of the goals of meditation is to lift your energy from your first chakra upwards to your, like, heart chakra?
Hell no. That's how I am. I didn't have sex for the first 15 years of my life, and I probably won't have sex for the last 15 in between. There's going to be some serious sex, and that's what I am on that subject. Sorry. Okay. But go to www.spirituallyincorrectcomedy.com. When I say they, I mean, of course, your gentle listeners, you guys who actually exist out there with ears. Thank you for listening. And if you go to www.spirituallyincorrectcomedy.com, you can see this great demo of me and Eric and Jerry, and you feel Leah's presence there because she's helped us write a ton of those punchlines.
Yeah, and the thing about transformational comedy is there's a balance.
Mm-hmm.
There's a balance because, for example, when you go to see a comedy show, it's very different from saying, okay, I'm going to take a week off from my life and pay for a seminar. Because when you do that, when you're sitting in a room with someone and you know you're going to be there, it can be a hard sell. But when you're sitting in there with an audience, you know, you can't tell the audience, for example, I mean, for example, one of our premises, I think each one of us has this premises, we're all liars. We all lie. We all lie to ourselves. I mean, perfect example of lying is when you're on the elevator. Everybody lies on the elevator. Do you do in a full elevator what you do in a lone elevator? No. Thus, you're not being yourself. Thus, you're a liar. Now, there's no way you can indict an audience right away easily when you're doing comedy. But if you gently bring them to it, it can be a transformational experience.
Yeah.
And if you make it funny and you laugh, you can go, yeah, I guess we are all liars.
Like everybody all lie on elevators. I'm not sure about that.
Have you ever been standing alone on an elevator?
Yes.
Right. You ever had the door open and all of a sudden all your behavior changes? You stop whistling. And all of a sudden a person walks in and all of a sudden you don't stay where you were. You move to the absolute opposite end of the elevator from that other person, and you don't look at them,
right.
And then you look at the floor, and then you hear a ding, and they leave, and the elevator's closed, and you're like, I'm alone again, that's me. and that's a perfect lie. Now, I'm not saying when they come on the elevator, you just keep singing, I'm alone, that's me, because, but what I'm saying is, I mean, if, whatever you were doing, what I like to do in the elevator now is if I was humming, I'd stay in the middle of the elevator and keep humming, and they walk in, and I go, hi, and they walk in, and they're behind me, and I'm like, la, 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 and then I leave.
And do they get nervous?
Well, you know why they get nervous? It's because they're afraid of me.
Right,
and you know what?
They're
going to judge me. And you know what? It's not a problem because I'm judging them. So we're all judging each other. That's all we do. And you know how I know? Because I judge other people. So I walk out of the elevator. Bye, everybody. And it's not like they're going to go home thinking about me, going, oh, gosh, that guy was being himself. I can't stand him. You know?
Veronica, did I interrupt here? I mean, Eric.
I know. We're good.
The thing about people on a spiritual path is oftentimes they pretend to be more enlightened than they actually are.
Right, of course.
Mm-hmm. What we do with stand-up comedy is access our own humanity such that others can access theirs. So when I say I'm a liar, I really mean it. I mean, if you look at your driver's license, I don't know about you, but mine isn't what I weigh. I Eric helped me write a funny bit. You know how much I weigh? I weigh anywhere between 140 and 160, depending on who you are.
It's a marketing tool.
But if you're a guy, you know, maybe not, kind of thing. So anyway.
You know, it's important to remember, Veronica, we've been looking at this, and we've been kind of looking at the phenomena of, you know, we go to these places like the Conscious Life Expo, and I think the natural assumption is to think, you know, that spirituality and spiritual things have to be approached in this really kind of, I am super, super serious about my meditation and my breathing and my yoga and my berries and my gojis and this and that. The truth is, spiritual people should have an even greater access to laughter, perhaps, because, you know, there's at least 42 references to laughter in the Bible. When you look at the picture of the Buddha, who we can arguably one of the greatest spiritual masters, he's a laughing Buddha. The guy is having the time of his life. And I think it's our turn to emulate these people by saying, hey, man, if you're on this path of lightness, then lighten up.
Yeah, like he said.
Down with that.
If you go to places like the Conscious Life Expo and you look at these exhibits,
mm-hmm.
90% of them are total bunk.
Really?
I mean, are you going to be a deeper human person for having bought the silver band that you put your hand in once a day and you come to sit your center with the cosmos? Yeah, then you go outside and smoke a cigarette, you know? where is enlightenment? Nobody wants to do the work.
And this is another thing that we deal with, Veronica. It's like, you know, what works for me works for me, what works for you, what works for you. And, you know, what we come up against in our writing is this constant thing of spiritual practices often don't have a ton, necessarily the scientific evidence around them, the empirical evidence, is thin, and yet you can have all these people saying, man, this thing worked for me, and it worked for my brother, and it worked for everyone. And as comedians, you know, we're sent to sniff out the BS, so it's fun to both, you know, sniff out the BS in some things, but then we find ourselves, you know, wholly and staunchly supporting other things that have no proof around them. So it's a lot of fun to make fun of, but it also causes us no end of discussion and consternation to try and go, well, I don't believe in rolfing, but I definitely believe in acupuncture. I definitely get my chakras cleansed, but I would never believe in feng shui. You know, it's all a pretty neat smorgasbord. It's a buffet table of disbelief for us.
And subjectivity, huh?
Yeah.
I personally don't believe feng shui is about organizing your closet. You know,
what do you
feng
think
shui
it
is about a living a harmonious life. All right,
oh, okay.
And if you don't want to do the work, you're going to have a very harmonious closet, and you're going to cheat on your wife. You know,
but if you have something in the wrong place, your chances of cheating are greater, right?
Yeah,
that's what we call a feng shui a minute.
Well, one of the things, Vanda, you mentioned was acceptance. What is a refusal to accept? What is...
I just wanted to add to that last bit because this is a paradigm shift in and of itself for me. I don't know if it will be for your listeners, but our coach said something that was so interesting to me, which is, hey, consider that nothing works. Nothing works. You know, it's all your intention. So, you know, and anything works. And I just loved that thought. I thought, huh, it's the power is not in the path or the thing or the modality or the, you know, the goji berry. The power is you and your causality, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I love that. But acceptance is a space, if you will, that we're going to be working more and more on in spiritually incorrect comedy. And the idea of what is. It sounds like a stupid little idea, just like riding a bike sounds like a stupid idea until you experience the flight of balance. But when you experience what is, like really what is, what reality, as Byron Katie says, reality is my God because you know what? It rules. When you argue with reality, you lose, but only 100% of the time. You know? So anyway, so this whole idea of acceptance, of being with what is, is an area that we're getting into it with our writing sessions.
And also, the flip side of it, the yang to your yin is not being with what isn't.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not gonna spend my time worrying about what isn't. Denying what isn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can accept what isn't, but what isn't, and because what isn't, what is. And by the way, could I use the to be verb any more times in a sentence?
I remind your listeners if they have any drugs to take them right about now. Continue, guys.
Yeah, it has to be a fast acting. It has to be fast acting. Acid will be start when the show is over. So.
So what about the absurdity of self-validation?
The absurdity of self-invalidation is one of the concepts I was telling Veronica guys that we're approaching. And, you know, I don't know if you ever have voices in your head. There's like this guy talking in your head that tells you all sorts of crappy stuff like, you know, you're not good enough or you have no discipline or whatever, you know, that I don't know who invited the guy to the party. So there's a voice.
He's a negative ego, right?
You could call it that. People do, and then there's also this other entity who listens to that voice in the head, right? I mean, for most of my life, I thought I didn't have a choice. I thought that those voices were it's your neural Rush Limbaugh. Your neural Rush Limbaugh. Did you get that?
Yes, I did. That's good.
Yeah. And it wants.
Rush comes to all our shows, by the way.
And he does. He loves us. All the Republicans.
My painkiller connection.
Leah's painkiller connection.
Yeah, he was sitting next to that woman in the clown suit at our last show.
Are you serious?
There was a woman in a clown suit at our last show.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Was Rush your mother?
Huh?
Rush wasn't there. He wasn't. Actually,
well,
yeah,
I'm
she twisted him into a balloon. It was a lot of fun.
We can name drop Joe Dispenza from What the Bleep was at our last show. That was our one of our big celebrity.
Oh, good. I was going to ask you if you knew him. Wasn't he from the Romfa group as well?
He was. He's an old friend of mine and my old chiropractor.
Ah.
Yep.
So
yep.
Did he laugh a lot? Did he get transformed?
I don't know. I'll have to ask him. That's good. We were talking before about the absurdity of self-invalidation. Think about what if we can really, really get to the heart of what that is. Because, you see, people kill themselves. Friends of ours kill themselves in Los Angeles because they're ambitious and they're not getting their just deserves or whatever. And if we can, and then lesser, right, there's not quite suicide, but there's other aberrations of human behavior because people listen to that voice in their head. And if we ever, like, get underneath some of that, what a service.
Mm-hmm.
It's an incredible service. I mean, and then there's the yang, again, to your yin. You know, you have the absurdity of self-invalidation, but in Los Angeles, there's the complete sense in parking validation. And I want to underscore that. If you can't park, you might as well kill yourself.
See, that's That's what it's like, but like nonstop.
Yeah.
That's very good, actually.
Yeah.
Are you there? Have I lost you?
Huh?
No, I thought I'd lost you.
I'm here.
So what's happening? Are people really getting into your programs? Are you performing a lot?
Yes, we are, and we have our first show. We do a monthly show at Sponto Gallery in Venice. Our first show was packed, and we're looking at being great promoters because that's part of the deal here. There's not an immediate audience. We don't go down to the improv and go, "Hi, here's some stuff that's absolutely irrelevant to you." Working toward becoming more mainstream.
Yeah, by the way, there's a 2-alcoholic drink minimum. That's not us.
But, you know, Veronica, what's been really interesting about it, a couple of things. One, we're mailing lists up to, like, we're sending emails to thousands of people now, so it's growing exponentially.
Oh, great.
But also, one of the things that I think Eric and myself are finding, and I actually haven't talked about this with Vanda, is that when we are performing out, some of this material is getting more traction with people. More people are into it than ever would have been before. And that has to do with the fact that Oprah Winfrey has chosen to feature The Secret, I think, about 3, maybe 4 times on her program. I mean, Walmart is filled with DVDs about how to do yoga. Britney Spears wears a red string, and girls in Idaho start wearing pieces of red yarn around their wrists without knowing what it is, but knowing that it has something to do with something called Kabbalah. I mean, if I know that in the 60s we talked about the age of Aquarius, but that, fortunately for us, actually wasn't a commercial phenomenon. Mm-hmm. But in American culture, when something commercializes, it means the people have really grabbed hold of it. And right now, New Age and spiritual things are a billion, multi-billion dollar industry. And so what was once very fringe is now we're finding is mainstream, and we can perform this stuff anywhere. And that's what's so great, because it's bringing us a real crossover of really neat people of all walks of life, just really wanting to laugh about the unknown with us, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it's very interesting because, you know, as Jerry said, it's a multi-billion dollar industry, but there's a space in this multi-billion dollar industry, and the space is comedy. In other words, you know, the whole theory, again, back to the Laughing Buddha, is we have to be able to laugh at all this.
Mm-hmm.
And above all, we have to be able to laugh at ourselves. I don't think we can truly take anything seriously until we can laugh at it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the whole, there's this element of the sacrosanct around the whole, you know, enlightened, you know, New Age movement, if you will. I mean, people take it so seriously. It's just a balloon ripe for popping.
Right. I mean,
well, I think also there's a space between what we're trying to do and what we really are as human beings, you know what I mean, as a cultural training and so on, and that's the part where I think we need an awful lot of humor.
You know, absolutely. I'm not going to mention names, but a New Age bookstore in Seattle, and they told me, I had 90 people there, right, but they told me I wasn't invited back because I had lowered the vibration in the room.
Uh-oh. What did you do, talk about the base chakra?
Probably. I talked about my chakra, my favorite chakra.
Well, that's hilarious. But, you know, I can really understand. I mean, people are so desperate to strike to evolve out of those things, I guess, that we don't know how to laugh at ourselves at that point.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you can ask the question, what is laughter?
Mm-hmm.
And there are two things. That laughter is only similar to one other human expression, and that's orgasm. It's a completely uncontrollable reaction. There is no, for example, when you're having an orgasm, there's no way to look cool, is there?
No.
It's honest. If anybody's attuned to you and you fake it, people know. Well, laughter is the same way. It's very hard to fake laughter. Laughter comes from a very, very unconscious place. And that conscious place is actually a truth. Comedy is generally negative. It addresses that what's negative in our life that we need to release. And upon receiving that truth from comedy, laughter happens.
Mm.
So by its nature, you are literally putting your finger on the clitoris of human emotion. Let's just call it that.
Hmm.
Sorry, Eric. That tickled both me and Leah over here.
Yeah. Well, that was my intention. Could you imagine what I could do if I were there?
Settle down, you guys. Well, I'm laughing because you said, Eckhart Tolle said, can I be the space for this?
Yes.
Is that right? Is that his
yes.
quote? Well, it's sort of interesting that he's such a big name right now, and Oprah's got him going. But while you're talking about it, I'm so conscious of your use of the word space and this space between where we're headed and where we are and the lack of joy we find in ourselves a lot of the time. I think your work is really seriously important, actually.
Yes. Thanks.
And you know, one of the things, Veronica, that I found as both a comedy listener and a comedy speaker teller is that it's weird. You can have something in your own life that you're afraid of, that you are afraid to admit to. It can be anything from, you know, the most embarrassing little things that you do that you think no one else does.
Right.
And then some comedian says it, and the whole audience laughs in recognition of the fact that we all do that. And suddenly you have a freedom to be in that area because your dirty little secret, it turns out it's everyone's dirty little secret. And you watched all of them laugh at it. And it's an amazing moment where you see a comedian talking about her eating disorder. Everyone laughs. And suddenly a woman in the audience who had a eating disorder and never would have admitted it, now it's free not only to share it with other people, but somehow it's got less of a grip on her because she found out she wasn't alone, and Vanda actually has a quote on a lot of the things that she sends out. And, Van, what is the quote again from Uncle Dirty?
Uncle Dirty, an old comic contemporary of Lenny Bruce, said this to me at the improv years ago when I was sitting at the bar next to him. He says, little girl, just remember this. Laughter is people realizing they're not alone. Good?
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
And if we can provide that, then we're truly spiritually incorrect.
Well, I laughed at us just today because I looked at our demo that Eric did on our website, which is www.spirituallyincorrectcomedy.com, and you can see the three of us, which is not in there, every, you know, into this whole thing, but you can see our six-minute demo.
Oh, great. I can hardly wait. Do you also say whereabouts in Venice you perform? Like, what's the name of the theater?
Yes, Sponto Gallery on Dudley, 7 Dudley. We're also doing a show May 25th at Blankenship Ballet Studio. I know that sounds weird, but it's the coolest venue, Bohemian. There's ballet dancers. We're going to have, like, we're going to smudge things with sage, and we're going to have, like, a, I don't know, it's going to be wild. And that's May 25th at Blankenship Ballet.
I'll be in the back staring at ballet dancers wondering why I got married. That'll be...
Is your wife funny, too?
If your listeners want to be on... Veronica, I'm sorry. If your listeners want to be on our email list, please have them email me at vandayoga@hotmail.com.
Vandayoga@hotmail.com.
Yeah, vandayoga@hotmail.com, and just request to be put on our mailing list, and we'll send you or your relatives, whoever you know in California, and we're going to be touring nationally at some point. We're going to be doing a movie at some point.
What's the movie?
Well, we're writing a concert movie with some, you know, stand-up and some probably sketches, interstitial kind of sketches. That's one of our intentions with our coach in terms of measurable results. One of them is to get a concert movie done.
I think that'd be great.
And you know, the goal of a concert movie is literally transformational. I mean, we are putting our heads together on how we can integrate with that, because there are three of us. It's not like one person, like Richard Pryor, does his hour and it's there. It's all three of us working in tandem together for a result. And on some levels, it's going to be three different takes on the same thing, and on another thing, it's going to be three of the same takes on a different thing.
So that sounds really exciting. I think these little movies that are being done lately, well, I love YouTube, frankly. Are you guys on there?
Yeah, sure. Well, we don't have our own channel yet on YouTube because we really just found it in December, but soon we will be. But we all are big fans of YouTube and love sort of this new spiritual cinema that's coming out.
Yeah.
Well, I think I have a few videos on YouTube, and so does Eric, right, Eric?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to have to look for those.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
but
and
we
I
will have the spiritually incorrect official videos of what we're doing together up there soon as well.
Yeah, we will. And I do want to say for the record, I do want to amend what I said. Lately, it has been us three performing, but Leah Krinsky is a phenomenal comedian, and she is the fourth person. And when I said a concert movie of three, I wanted to let you know it's just where my head was. Leah is definitely a strong fourth person, and she is a full creative force in this whole thing.
Absolutely. Are you guys going to try to do a story? And we're looking forward to seeing you too, Leah.
Pardon? Yeah. Oh, okay. Sure. I was meditating.
Yeah. Well, you seem to be hiding away, and we forget.
We'll be seeing
right?
her very soon, Veronica. And when you do, at first she'll start with an interpretive dance piece, which we found is the cornerstone of comedy.
Yes. It's my dance to the gods of humor.
calling them in.
Essentially, you know, I do want to readdress the prior conversation about the web. It's growing, but now that the demo's done, it'll be on YouTube. But as we progress, as the show grows, you're going to really see our web presence expand. The great thing about this new media is it's free and it's accessible to everyone. And there's so many different ways to do it, from a blog to a guest book. We're going to have conversations open about spiritual comedy on the website that people can get involved with, that people can express their sense of humor on the website. So it's going to be a movement in and of itself, just the web presence.
Veronica, what's been so cool about this, and, you know, Vanda really kind of spearheaded this entire thing, it's a real innovation. I mean, it's fun for us to be pioneering a new kind of comedy that we're calling spiritual comedy, and it's just growing by leaps and bounds. I'm sorry, I interrupted you, Van. What were you about to say?
I just also wanted to add that there's lots of comedians now who want to, when they see us perform, and they hear about what we're up to, they want to be a part of it. So we're looking at ways to include them and not make our dynamic that works so well unwieldy. You know, so people have to submit material and it has to be in their heart to do what we're doing, because what we're doing is not for the faint of heart. I mean, it's like we're transforming the planet through stand-up comedy, and that's what we're doing just because we say so. And if people can't wrap their minds around that and their hearts around that, then it wouldn't be fitting. You know,
right.
But they have to be funny, and they have to be fun to hang out with, you know what I mean, like that. And then we're going to figure out ways to sort of franchise this or something, because it's there's too many people interested, and we want to start a revolution.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think I just want to add that when Vanda means franchise, I don't think she means like McDonald's. Mm-hmm. I think what she means is...
Well, you can't eat meat anyway, can you?
Oh, are you kidding? I think, you know, someone who eats a burger at McDonald's is saying, I don't want to die of a heart attack at 65. I want to die of a heart attack at 650. You know, what can we do? I would never eat at that place. God bless them all.
Superpowers as from being a vegan.
Yeah, I'm a vegan man. That's right. My hair falls out in clumps. That's my power. But at the same time, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Vanda, even though there's no right and wrong, that when she says franchise, she means, you know, expand the boundaries of what we're doing and call it spiritually incorrect comedy.
I think that's great. You mean create a venue, or not a venue, but a whole style, a fashion of this.
That's right.
I think it'll go like wildfire, frankly.
Yeah, I would love to see comics stop doing standard dating material in order to get by or to make their weekly money and really start stretching the bounds of comedy to really deal with why we're here on this planet or why we're not really here on this planet.
Mm-hmm. And there's comics who are interested in that, but the hell, there's just never been a medium for it. There's just never been one made. There's never been a market. I just spoke with, he's a famous comic, Chris Titus. He's like, yeah, I'll come do a show, or I'm going to do a show at Agape, which is this Michael Beckwith's huge trans church here in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And so besides the three of us and possibly Leah, I'm going to have a more comics. So I'm looking at who's doing stuff that's relevant, that's spiritual, metaphysical, transformational, who's putting their butts on the line and having the courage to really be personal.
And who's doing that?
Well, Chris Titus is to a degree. I'm looking at my friend John Mulroney in New York. You know, Rick Overton is a guy who's been known as a cosmic conscious comic. And I asked
What about Swami Beyondananda?
Swami's great. He's like the grandfather of spiritual comedy. He gets all the gigs that we will be getting. And
you want to stay in his good books, right?
He does. Swami does. He's got a brilliant heart. He's a friend, you know. And he actually does things a little more on the pun side, a little more on the wordplay side.
Yeah, he sure does.
Yeah, we do the more the dry humping the mic stand side.
but
spiritual.
We really encourage each other to share our souls, to talk about what's really going on with us. No, and there are even going to be moments, Veronica, we just spoke about this with our coach, Anurag, where we're willing to have moments in the show that are poignant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we're willing to have tender moments where we presence the audience to love, you know, and comedy and love, what's better than that, right?
Does it take a lot of courage, Vanda?
Well, you know, stand-up arguably takes a whole bunch of courage.
But I should think standing up and performing, but also being true to who you are and where your vulnerabilities are, takes a whole other level.
I would say being true to yourself and who your vulnerabilities are requires infinitely more courage than stand-up ever will.
I would say, too. But I would say
that to look in the mirror and really accept who you are takes such a phenomenal amount of courage. Maybe only a handful of people do it every generation. So I would be happy with any result in that direction, if you call it a result.
The funny thing about comedy is a lot of us got into it because we needed attention or our parents, you know, weren't what we wanted them to be or whatever, so we had something to prove, right? And so we're sort of on the maturity end of that trajectory, you know, where you start out tap dancing for your parents, basically.
Right.
Me, 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 pay attention to me, and you get that attention, and after a while it's like, well, what do I want to say? What do I want to actually contribute? You know, because it's boring to just get this attention that no longer suits me.
Well, yeah, you know, it's one
of... excuse me for a minute, but I do think it's in your spirit self also to have to do this.
Yeah.
Well yeah, I mean, one of my things as a comedian is I always wanted to impress people and have people think I was funny. So I'd go and do a show, I'd have a great show, people would, you know, laugh and come up to me and go, you're going to be a star, or whatever they do, and then I'd leave and I'd go back to my room and I'd be like, unfulfilled again.
Yeah, really.
And I have to wait till the next night to get that. And you know, it never would have ended. And then some nights I'd have a bad show. Well, what's that going to do to my fragile ego?
Right.
But when I'm really addressing the truth and I'm really doing it to make a difference, to transform, my ego's not as much in it. And if people laugh, I'll know that they're getting it.
Right.
Yeah. Our coach always says when we have a big gig coming up, like the last one, he goes, and what if it goes south? What if the whole thing bombs? What about that? And the answer, the proper answer to that for our coach is, it doesn't matter. We're going where we're going anyway.
But you're also true to yourself, too. That's the other thing that keeps occurring.
Yeah, there's nothing at stake for any of the... It's all a rehearsal, you know.
Well, so talk about fears. What kind of fears come up?
Well, if I can just address it, you know, what you're getting here is kind of interesting, Veronica, and maybe one day this phone call, this video conversation or this audio will actually be an interesting kind of historical document. One, in the sense that we're hopeful that this is actually going to become much a larger and larger phenomenon, and people will go, oh, well, this is where it all started. They had only just started 3 months after they began this thing that we all know about and love right now. But if you really kind of think about it, stand-up comedy can kind of be just as karate or archery or flower arranging or any given discipline can lead you toward paths of self-realization, self-actualization, and maybe even enlightenment. So also stand-up is a discipline because it has all of the elements that challenge you. I mean, we're talking about having to, A, first look yourself in the mirror and accept something about yourself that's scary to, B, getting up in front of other people and sharing it, and then C, the intellectual exercise and then some kind of subconscious exercise of getting to the bottom of what's so common about that other people are going to laugh about. And I think what you're hearing, you know, someone tuning into this conversation might go, these are comedians, but what any comedian will tell you is that behind the scenes, when you're hanging out with really masterful people who are creating comedy, these are the kind of conversations that you get to hear doesn't sound like this would lead to comedy necessarily, but this is the birthplace of comedy right here, examining rigorously the states of being.
Yeah.
Any good art, and I'll say from a martial arts perspective, requires an incredible amount of fine tuning. For example, when I do front stance, it requires 70% of weight on the front leg, 30% of weight on the back leg, your rear foot facing as far foot as far forward as possible, your knee over your toe, and there's so many other nuances of it. And I've been doing it for 30 years now, 34 years now. Wow. And I still don't have it right. Stand-up comedy is very, very similar in that you have to fine-tune this line, this one line that really wants to dig into that truth, and it goes this way, this night, wow, what do I surround this line with? How do I fix this line? And you've been doing this line for 10 years, and all of a sudden on the 11th year, you realize you change a word, and all of a sudden it does everything you wanted it to, and it was just that word. It's like turning your rear foot more forward in front stance, and all of a sudden you have more thrust forward. It's all the same thing, and it requires an incredible amount of honesty.
Yeah, and the cool thing about us is we get this kind of work done that Eric's talking about four times faster than we do on our own because we have each other and we all are pulling each other to win.
Hmm. And do you ever push against each other? Do you ever have arguments?
We rub against each other. Does that count?
No issues. No issues that have stood in our way since December. No.
But it's true, though. I mean, you know, every time you create, Veronica, as you know, there's a push and a pull. And, you know, what we're doing, you know, no one can tell you, you can't see how your back looks. You got to depend on a friend to say, how does my back look? And so we've got three of us telling each of one of us how their back looks. And sometimes, you know, it is very interesting. And sometimes we really kind of go back and forth where you've just performed something and you said, listen, guys, I really think this expresses it. And maybe one or two of the people go, well, I'm not so sure. And that's interesting because as an artist, there's so much subjective. So what's, again, a little bit unique about this is most comedians won't take input, won't take a lot of feedback from colleagues. But we all trust each other enough and trust each other's opinion enough that we're willing to give something a try, and even if someone suggests something and it doesn't work, we don't hold it against them because we really get that at the bottom of it, they're just trying to help me and I'm just trying to help them, so we're all just trying to help each other. But sometimes it can get a little tense if we were to be really forthright about it.
Well, you're being human, right?
No,
it's strong intention. Like, sounds like it's strong intention.
I'm sorry, I walked on your line there.
You have strong intentions, and that really makes it more smooth in a way.
We feel like sometimes the four of us and our coach, Anurag, we feel like we have this love affair that you work things out only because you're headed somewhere. Because your relationship is about more than you and that person and you, and you're in each other's face. The context of our relationship is so creative and so we have a vision where we're going that we share, and it's delicious, you know.
That's
and
wonderful.
My coach sees me on stage, Anurag, and he says, you sounded a little self-righteous there, Vanda. I have to look and go, oh, really? Because I was going off about something and opinionated, you know. Oh, I was saying how I hate the word conscious. Like people say consciousness and conscious life expo and conscious media, da, da, da. I'm like, conscious as opposed to what, those peons, you know, and I was being all opinionated about it. And he just told me, you sounded self-righteous. And I'm like, oh, okay. I am righteous.
Well, feedback is a very brilliant thing for a comedian. Because when we do comedy on stage, let's remove us from the context of being a group for the first 15 years of doing comedy. I would write a bit. I'd try it on stage. It either worked or it didn't. Then I'd try it again. It either worked or it didn't. And if it hadn't really worked by the third time, I'd throw it out and pick another. And I would have to keep getting stage time to work out a bit. I wouldn't know why it worked. I wouldn't know why it didn't. I'd listen to the tape recording, but nothing happened. But nothing happened that gave me direct feedback. When I do that same joke in front of Jerry, Leah, and Vanda, and then all of a sudden I get feedback of such a wonderful nature that goes, is this true? Is this not true? What are you really trying to say? And here are like eight punchlines. Pick one. I feel like I have done this steroidal version of a year of stand-up comedy in 5 minutes.
Wow, excellent. And, you know, I have to say goodbye, and I don't want to. It's wonderful, but I'm going to rush to spiritually incorrect comedy veronicaspeaks.com and get a load of your latest gig, right?
Oh, Veronica, we're so honored and delighted to have been. You're our first feature interview, so thank you.
Well, thank you so much for coming here on April Fool's Day. And I'm up for laughing. I'm on the spiritual path just like you, really into transformation, and I need to laugh, and I really appreciate all the work you're doing.
Our pleasure.
Thanks very much.
Thank
you. Thanks, Leah, out there in the background.
Hey.
Bye.
Much love to all of you, and thank you very much.
Thank
all right.
you.
Paradigm shifter.
All right.
Night.
Good night. Well, that was wonderful. I enjoyed that so much. And we're going to move on and meet you next week on Paradigm Shifters. And you know what? I have a space next week because somebody didn't answer me. So I'm not going to tell you who's coming on. It's going to be a big surprise for me, too. I love talking to these various Paradigm Shifters because having comedians who are transformational is going to be very, very supportive to all of us. Don't we need to laugh at ourselves and at each other as we go through this in a wonderfully uplifting way? So again, this is Veronica Entwistle, and I'm going to be seeing you or hearing from you or sharing time with you at 8 o'clock on Thursday night with Jackie Salvitti's ET Healing Show. She's more on about the shadow, and I think it's the power of the feminine this week. I can't remember, but those have been really pithy classes, I'm sure, for any of you who've been listening. I love doing them with Jackie. She's really insightful, and the vibration is tremendous. And I'll be back on Tuesday with Radiance by Design at 4 o'clock and Paradigm Shifter with my surprise Paradigm Shifter at 5 o'clock next Tuesday here on BBS Radio. Much love to all of you. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Hi.